You're listening to the Theology of Music podcast. Follow on YouTube and Instagram, support through buymeacoffee.com, and subscribe to the only podcast that unpacks the good and sometimes bad theology in the songs that we sing. Welcome again to the Theology of Music podcast. My name is Joel. Yes, you are listening to me. Just me today. Just me today. It is just me on this podcast. And man, what a treat. I've recorded so many guest podcasts that I could just honestly never do one. Probably. I could never do a solo pod anymore, but I've got some thoughts. I have some thoughts. And I've missed this. I actually have really missed this a lot. I've missed you guys. I know that's may feel weird because you've heard me every week, but those podcast episodes were recorded, some of them, months ago. And so I've just been really missing this time to talk. I don't know why I'm talking like that. I feel like I'm talking like Jerry Seinfeld. Hey, what's the deal? What are you saying? I don't know. Anyway, if this is your first time, which a lot of you are new listeners, yep, this is real. This is me. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Okay, I'm gonna let the light shine on me. But I'm happy that you're here. If you're new, thank you so much. We've gotten a lot of new people as a result of some of these guest podcasts, and thank you. Thank you guys so much for being here, for being a part of this podcast. So today, this is what it looks like. When I do a solo podcast, I will look at a song, and I will use it as a jumping off point. Really, what this podcast is, the best way to describe it, is it's like the idea is to have healthy conversations that are both convicting and encouraging that use music as a jumping off point, right? Before, if you go back and listen to some of the first episodes, I was much more about deconstructing the bad theology in songs that we're singing in church because that's where I was. I was in church, right? And I was in ministry. I was a pastor, and now I'm not. I'm not in ministry. I mean, you're in ministry ever, but I wasn't in occupational ministry anymore now. And so because of that, the Lord has been really gracious to kind of like help me expand my view. And guests have said this when we were talking, and friends have said this, but I'm basically like a Christian Joe Rogan. I'm trying to have really good conversations with people as guests, and then when I have a podcast, I want to talk about things that are that matter, that have importance in our lives. And so there's some things that I've just been thinking about a lot as I've been talking through life, faith, the church with guests, and I hope you guys have loved this. Seriously, You're kind of spoiled. I know that you guys have to become members to listen to Stuff Behind the Paywall, which you really should. Seriously, these conversations are so amazing. Become a member, $5 a month. I know right now inflation's nuts, so you know I'm not going to beat a dead horse and be like, you can afford that. No, it's not. It's as much as a gallon of gas now, which is not what I ever thought I'd say when I'd say, hey, you should support my podcast for as little as a gallon of gas. You can support Joel in the Theology Music Podcast. So if money's tight, don't do it. Thank you, Nathan Anderson, by the way, in Australia. I love just calling you out because I love you. But if you can swing it, support the podcast financially. buymeacoffee.com/theologyofmusic. Become a member. Have access to the full episodes, video and audio, right? And you're like, the Lord has sent us some really good guests. I mean, last week was Zach Bolin. We've had Meredith Andrews on. We've had Bob Coughlin back in the day. Even some recent guests, right? Todd McVicker, his story was wonderful. Jason Stinson is incredible. And now we've got people like Scott Annual, who's the executive vice president of G3, talking about his controversial article that he posted about how theology embodies music embodies theology. I mean, some really awesome guests come up. A couple more indie artists on the way. Some pastor. One of my goals right now, my next goal is to get a rapper. So if you have any connections to rappers, Christian rappers, that'd be great. I'm constantly in Kanye West's DMs, constantly going, hey, here's me checking back in to try to get you on the podcast, and hopefully that you see this. The grind is real, y'all. I'm going at it. But hey, I'm naming and claiming. Not really, but we'll see what happens. But thank you guys so much. For all you new people, thank you. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. So today, I'm taking a look at an old hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. And if you've seen the title of this podcast, you're like, okay. What do you mean, is there hope for the American church? What I believe, and I'm going to tell you a little bit up front, I believe is that the current state, the American church as it stands, does not live up to the lines in this song. So let's look at this song, and then we'll go towards that whole discussion, right? So Take My Life and Let It Be, the old hymn, not the Chris Tomlin version. Although, I will say the Chris Tomlin version is, in my opinion, the best Chris Tomlin cover or redo of a hymn he's ever done. Because this song is great. Take my life and let it be. Right, great. But he goes, what is it? How he goes, take my life and let it be. He kind of does the same thing. Ever known. No, now I'm doing the hymn version. Jeez. Take my life, let it be. Oh, no, 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 no. And then adds the, here am I, here am I. With the female reply. And it's everyone just, oh my God. It's the best version. Not the best version of the song, but the best hymn he's done, I think. But this song was written by Frances R. Havergal. It's a lady. A lady wrote this. Because women run the world. And you better respect that. Run the world. Hopefully all of you just said girls. But Frances was born in 1836. And through some craziness with her parentage and everything, she went through an interesting childhood, right? But she wrote this song as a response to things that she was going through in her life. And I think it's really cool because she also wrote a ton of hymns too. And all of her hymns that she wrote, I mean, you should really look into it. She wrote a bunch of good hymns. She wrote a lot of them in the midst of something in her life. There was something going on in her life that she responded to in writing these hymns. But anyway, so she wrote this song. It was originally started as a poem, right? And then she released this in 1874. And this song has just some beautiful, beautiful lyrics. And it's super simple, which is one of the greatest things about this song. This hymn, which is an old hymn, like a true old hymn, is a simple hymn. And I don't know many people that are singing it. And I think the reason why is it kind of is convicting, right? So the first verse says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. I love that. I love that the initial verse is this aspect of, Lord, just take my life and consecrate it, Lord, to thee. And take my moments and my days. Basically, from the get-go, everything about me is yours, God. And I want them all to then point back to you and your goodness in praise. I want it all to only point back to you, not to me. Take my moments and my days and make them yours. Let them flow in endless praise, or as Chris Tomlin says, ceaseless praise. And I think one of the reasons why this song, this hymn, is still so around and so good is there's this aspect of the faith, our faith, where we desire to give everything of ourselves. It's why marriage can be so fruitful and so impactful and have such a big make a big difference in our lives, and it can consume so much in a good way, because there's this beauty in giving everything of yourself to someone. God wired that into us. Like, he wired that into our very nature, because it covers everything of ourselves. Like, and we want to have someone receive all of us in a good way, right? That's what makes it so hard, right? I mean, you guys know my story, and you guys are probably have gone through trauma yourself, right? When you go through broken trust, you gave yourself to someone, and they didn't respond well. They didn't respond in grace and love and generosity. And anything like that. What they did was they took from you, or they hurt you. And it's hard because even when you've been hurt and your trust has been broken, you want to keep giving of yourself because God's wired it for us. And what this beauty of the song is saying is, yes, but focus that back towards the Lord, right? So the second verse, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. I mean, that is clear right? Hands and feet, scriptural language. That's Romans, Romans 10, where it's how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And even in 1 Corinthians, when Paul is talking about how we are the body of Christ, his hands and his feet and all these different aspects. So this hymn does a great job pointing us back to that, to say, our hands, so it starts with my days, my very existence, my time on this plane, this earth, is his. I want my moments and my days to flow again in endless praise and in ceaseless praise. And then my hands, okay, now my hands, my physical being, my body, okay, I need my hands to move at the impulse of God's love, right? And I love that too, because we've talked about this before. We've talked about this a lot on this podcast. There is this annoying thing in the church where we don't like to talk about love in some circles, and then we really, really like to talk about love in the others. And it's just so imbalanced. And this is something I'm going to talk about, why there isn't much hope in some ways for the American church. There's your teaser, some more. So let's keep going. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, right? How beautiful are the feet? Romans 10. Take my voice now. Okay, so you've been kind of on the external, right? Hands, feet. All right, a little bit more internal. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. It's like these lyrics are it's so convicting, right? To me, this is like I surrender all, but way more convicting, right? Because I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. That's nice. It's a nice sentiment, which is great. This song's like, if I surrender all is like, man, I love I surrender all. It's one of the best surrendering songs. The next line would be, take my life and let it be has entered chat, because take my life and let it be would have some words to say about surrendering your life. So the third verse, take my voice and let me sing ever only, always only for my King. There's something there we could talk about. Maybe we could talk about that another time. And honestly, right now, I'm going to tell you, this is part one. I'm going to talk about the hope of the issue with the American church and stuff like that. But there's too much to say to talk about at one time. But I want to talk about this song as my jumping off point, talk about it a little bit, and then talk about it again another time after some more guest podcasts. So you have to wait. But take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. And this isn't some prophetic, like, I need messages from the Lord. This is just, right, like, there's power of life and death is in the tongue, as Scripture says. And we can offer up praise, right, to the Lord. We can offer up, we can give people, speak life to their lives, or we can speak death. And then that's what's really cool, right? This is always pertinent. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. It's a numerical value. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. It's verse 4. Take my silver and my gold. God, I don't know if you know, but inflation's pretty crazy right now. So could you, I'm already losing all of my silver and my gold at the gas pump. So I'm going to hold on to that. Okay. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. How many of us, I think this verse 4 is really cool because it goes against the very ideal of American society. And like, trust me, I get it, right? I worked in ministry, got paid nothing, right? I get it. Left ministry, my first job in corporate, already made like almost double what I was making in ministry. I'm not saying anything about church and how much churches should pay people. I'm just saying it's really easy when you're outside of the church or even inside the church too, but especially outside the church, when it's a lot easier to make more money, in quotes, a lot easier to make more money, to really have a hard time with something like this. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite with I would hold. The saying, nothing, I'm not withholding anything. Everything that you've given me, all this money is yours. But I don't think it's a bad thing. Look, I don't want you to think that I believe it's a bad thing to strive for wealth. It's the goal behind it. Is your goal to strive for wealth so that you do withhold the silver and the gold from the Lord? Or is your goal to not withhold the might of the silver and gold, but to be generous, to be a generous giver in the faith, right? To be someone who helps others when they're in need, and even when they're not in need, are just very generous, right? Knows that it's not your own thing. This is the Lord. He owns it, right? Here's a little quick thing of advice. If you go to a church, seriously, if you go to a church, hopefully, I'm probably sure you're listening to this, you go to church, and you ever go do anything with the worship people or the pastor and stuff, treat the pastor, especially if you make good money. Treat the pastor. Take him out. Take him out. Take his family out. Take the worship pastor out. Take staff out. They don't get paid. And even if they have cards, don't make them. It's your money anyway. Like, you're tithing. Just use your money that you were going to tithe. I mean, you're going to tithe anyway, but use the money that they would have used from the tithe. You know what I'm saying, okay? Just treat your daggone pastor. Verse 5. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Oh, so this is my favorite verse of it. Even though the last verse, 6th verse, take my love, my Lord I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. I think that one's great too. But these last two, especially verse 5, it hits me every time. Take my will and make it thine. Seriously, I don't know about you. Like, I learned so much in this last year that I wanted something for my life. And this is part of what we're going to talk about with the American church. So much of what the problem with the American church today is the idea behind our wills, disguised and placed underneath the guise of the will of the Lord. Well, it's God's will. We got to expand. We got to break off from this church. We got to blah, blah, blah. Like, it's God's will. And it's just your will. And the sad reality is, if you were honest, you would be a lot clearer for the people who follow you to know whether or not you're doing the right thing. And it would be great to, like, you wouldn't lead anyone astray with a lie. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't be leading anyone astray with a lie. Like, there's no guise of, oh yes, he's such a wonderful pastor, he's such a great heart. No, you just want your own will. So just be honest. If you're going to be doing what you want, say it's what you want. At least then everyone knows where you stand. Because here's the cool thing about this verse. Take my heart, it is thine own. Which is just this, I love the idea, because every time we talk about the heart, someone breaks down a door and goes, do you know what Jeremiah says about the heart? It says it's deceitful and deceitfully wicked, and no one can even trust it. No one can trust it. No one can know it. No one can trust it. Don't trust your heart. This is the beauty of our faith. Our hearts, although they are influenced and consumed with sin, are made new in Christ. And we have the opportunity now in Christ to allow the Lord to make our heart his throne. Right? So his throne is in our heart. He rules this, in quotes, dysfunctional heart. He makes it function for his glory. That's the beauty of it. So when it says, take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne, that only can happen because Christ died and saved us. And so now we can say, okay, Jesus, you are Lord. I've acknowledged you're Lord. I admit that you are in control and that you're Lord. You take control. Take my will and make it yours. It's not mine anymore. And then the last verse. Take my love, my Lord, I bore. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. It gets me. I'm getting a little choked up because it's, how often do we misplace our love? And what it's saying here is, I'm pouring out my love at your feet, God, as a treasure. Like, because that's my treasure, is your feet. I'm giving you this thing that you've given me, love, the ability to love, and I'm putting it at your feet. Right? As a treasure, and to treasure you over everything else. And in doing that, you're saying, take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. The beauty too of it, it's saying that you're pouring your love at someone's feet, is you have to bend down, you have to kneel. So it's even more of this submission language. I think this him. Like, seriously, I give Chris Tomlin grief about the, you know, all the different covers and stuff like that. It's a joke. I don't really care. I think this song, his version of this song is really great. I think churches would do well to sing it, honestly. And churches would do well to sing this hymn. But I don't think churches want to do this hymn. And I don't think it's because it's old. It's because there isn't really much hope for the American church. And there are three reasons. Okay? Three reasons why I believe there isn't much hope. I'm not saying there isn't hope at all. But I don't have much hope for the American church. And this is why. So, verse 6. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. One of the things that I think has overwhelmingly destroyed the credibility of so many churches is that we have bought into the cultural model of living, right? Like, the churches have now looked so much like the world. There is no in the world and it's not in the world. It's not of the world, but in the world. We're so one foot out, one foot in ism that there's no way to distinguish between the churches. And you can say it's for relevancy, but the problem is, in many ways, you're wrong. And in the main reason, right? There's many things we could talk about. The main reason is this: senior pastors. I've talked about this before, and you may not like this. You might be a senior pastor listening to me. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not believe you acting as the guy, as a senior pastor, is a good thing for your church. Here's why. You create your kingdom. You create a kingdom, even if you don't aren't trying to, people, when you establish yourself, because you did seminary, you started this church, you planted this church, or you came in to save the church, whatever. Why am I talking like Trump? You came in and you saved the church, okay? And you said, I'm better. No one's better than me. I'm the best. Well, you're wrong. Okay, you're just wrong. It's been a while, okay? My Trump used to be great. You, indirectly or directly, are creating a kingdom, a fiefdom, if you will. And your serfs, your people, depend on you. And it becomes this cyclical interdependency that you don't think you're feeding, but you are. Because then when you also start to pull from the culture, right? And this is really good. Like, you're going to hear this conversation I had with Scott. And I really loved that conversation because it helped me in, as I was framing this thought. We have really taken a lot of time, taken a lot of things from the culture and infuse them into our church. And it's things like the pastor being the CEO, right? The pastor being the business guy, the pastor running it, right? Like, running it as a CEO and looking at church like that way. And what happens, right? What happens when you do that is you're no longer a shepherd. When the pastor is a CEO, he's no longer a shepherd. When the church is now a corporation, there's no families. Right? And when you are no longer really like members of a community, you're just investors, there's no community of service. Right? So once again, so when you're a CEO, you're not a shepherd. When the church is a corporation, there's no family. And when it's all about investors in the church and numbers and whatever, there's no service. Why would you serve? There's no reason. And this isn't just celebrity pastors, right? For the longest time, I thought it was celebrity pastors because I was in occupational ministry. And when you're in occupational ministry, it's like this old Dane Cook skit that I love. Look, I wasn't saved at the time, okay? Dane Cook. I loved Dane Cook. I sounded like Dane Cook. I talked like Dane Cook because he was an incredibly funny comedian. He's incredibly crass, and I cannot recommend him because he is so crass, especially in his later years. Earlier years, not as crass, but he cussed all the time, and he was vulgar, so I would not recommend listening to it. I'm going to give you the clean version. He had this one joke that had me rolling every time, and it's so true, and it was prophetic, and I'll tell you why. Because he talked about how in every group, in every friend group, there is one person that nobody likes. Every friend group, there's always one person that nobody likes. And he says that person's name is Karen. Karen. And I'm like, that was prophetic. And he says, when Karen's not there, everyone's just like, oh my, I cannot stand. Oh, please just end me now before I have to talk to Karen again. I can't. She's the worst. She just embodies everything I can't stand. It's, I just can't. I want to throw up when I think about it. How high, Karen, when she comes around, Karen, wow, I'm so good to see you, man. I love your dress. I love that. What are you, how are you? That's great. That's so wonderful. And the second she leaves, oh my, wow, I couldn't wait for her to leave. Right as he's saying that joke, people in the audience are going, like, shaking their heads, like, nah. And he goes, some of you in this audience, you know, everyone's laughing. Some of you are just shaking your head. And he goes, you're that person. You're that person. And that's the church right now. There are so many senior pastors and so many churches that are healthy, in quotes, that look at the other churches, like celebrity pastor churches down the street, or the big churches like Elevation, Bethel, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, well, that's them. They're the bad places. And I just keep imagining Dane coming up to them and being like, you're that person. Right. If you want a biblical example, it's Nathan to David. You're the man. You're the one who killed the sheep. Like, that's the truth. Right. Here's another thing. Right. There are way more Jacobs, way more swindlers as senior pastors in the church than there are Pauls and Peters. Right. There are many pastors who view themselves, think themselves as Paul and Peter and Stephen and those heroes of the faith, but they're really just Jacobs. They're swindlers. I'm gonna let that sit. Trust me, I know. There's so many things. Here's something. I want to open this up. I want you, if you are listening and you know of churches, like if you're in a church and you know there's some unhealthy stuff, like, you know, it doesn't have to be sexual scandal. It can be like Mars Hill, bullying, strong arming, like all this kind of stuff, things that aren't biblical. Let me know. And it's not because I'm just going to become this investigative journalist of bad churches. Because the good thing is, for every bad church, I think there's a good one. It's hard to say. But I know there are good churches. And I have hope, right? We're going to keep talking, but I do have hope. I want you to know I have hope because I'm a part of a good church. It's not perfect. The irony is that it is much better now, but it was on its way. The pastor said they were the cool church. They were trying to be the cool church, next Elevation, next blah, blah, blah of the upstate, right? And then they realized this is the worst thing we could be doing. We are not doing this right. We have to change. And they changed everything. Now, I would say to them, you, by the grace of God, are now able to use the wrong things you did for the glory of his kingdom and his bride and the blessing of his bride, right? You know, it's not like you just reset and started over and church plan again. And you're like, okay, let's do a hard reset, the great reset. It's more, you're getting to use, although it wasn't good, you now have the resources and the platform, but you're using it better and using it rightly. So no church is perfect, right? I mean, one of my partner in the Grace Collective, Matt, he's an elder at a church. He's a young guy. And that church is healthy. It's a healthy church. It's a really healthy church. Keith McMinn, he's a pastor in Virginia as well. And his church is healthy. Because he cares about the right things. And they have had to make hard calls about people too in their church on staff. And so I know there are people. I know that there are churches that are healthy. But I also know many churches that aren't healthy. And if you need someone to talk to about that and you need to tell someone about it, that's fine. I will advocate for you if you need help. I don't know what that looks like. But I don't want you to feel alone in that. And it's not like I'm going to become this expose guy. Maybe. Who knows? At this point right now in my life, I'm holding my life as much like this song. I just want to be open-handed. And so if God says he wants this podcast to become a private, like, I'm not going to be pulpit and pen and whatever, like exposing false teachers, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to be like the Project Veritas of Christian podcasts. But I want this to be a place where people can reach out in their hurt, you know, because as scripture says in 1 Peter, right? God is, he, He wants us to cast our anxieties on him. And scripture is very clear too. We are to bear each other's burdens. And that's what I want to do. So if that's you today, you feel like you've got a burden for the church and you have the same burden, you want to talk about it, send me an email. And maybe here's a question. Like, I have information on some churches where some bad practices, not, you know, once again, not sexual stuff like that. Not saying that any of those are better, right? And I'm constantly sitting on it thinking, what's the best move, right? Is it to say, this church in this area is doing the wrong thing? If you go there or you know anyone, you say something. You better say something. No. What do you think? How about this? Send me an email, theologyandinmusic@gmail.com, or a message on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram, Theology of Music. Let me know. Or become a member and say it in the member thing. So you don't have to post on Instagram for everyone to see. What would you do? What do you think I should do? I'm not saying I'm going to listen to you. I mean, I might, but who knows? Ask my wife. I typically don't. But anyway, so that's one thing, the senior pastor culture. And the other thing, and there's, like I said, there's three things. And I want to talk about this a little bit more. Because I think about this whole senior pastor culture a lot. I want to talk about it more and end the episode on this. And then I'll talk about the other two in the next episode in part two. There's just this, even the good, in quotes, even the good pastors use this thing, this my will part. And it hurts the church. So what I mean is, right, like, so church I know, right? Big church. Pastor there wanted to, he didn't like the big church model. He wanted to leave. So he forced his way out. Forced his way out, put the pastor in a bind, had to make a tough call. He went with this guy. And then now his church is being the church that, like, sent him or whatever. He got out so he could plant or whatever. And the church that sent him is now kind of reneging on their conditions that they said they would do, right? So the goal was for this church to be its own church, right? And now the other church is reneging on that. And I look at that, and you would say, well, okay, so the problem is you forced your way out of one kingdom to have your own kingdom. And when you did that, you took your kingdom with you of your people, and then the other kingdom stayed. And when that happens, there's always division. Every time. You can say that you're united, but when you, and preference is fine, that's fine, but don't build your church around preference and a person. That's what I'm saying, the senior pastor culture. Don't build your church. Don't build your church around preference and a person. That's senior pastor culture. That's literally senior pastor culture in a nutshell. Preference, person. And that's the culture. That's not the church. That's not God's intention for the bride. And that's why I have this problem with this American institutional church, because it's not like I'm woke or anything. I don't hate white evangelicalism or anything like that. It's just we've gotten in bed with the culture. We have one foot in, one foot out, and we love to say that we're following the Lord, but we're just building kingdoms. And denominations are a part of that. I'm not saying denominations are bad, but we use denominations to do the same thing. And we build these kingdoms based on one person. And then there's the changing of power when it goes to another person. And then there's that whole deal again. And one thing I do love about my church is there's no senior pastor. And I like that a lot. And honestly, I think if I ever left a church, I would have a hard time going to another church that has a senior pastor. Because it just causes so many problems. And you can be a good one. But here's the deal. You can be a senior pastor of a church of 50. You're still building a church around a person, right? Why should people come to your church? That's the thing that I always go back to with senior pastors. I ask them, why should people go to your church and not the church on the street? Why have you started another church? Why aren't you a part of that church? Because I don't agree with that church. I want my convictions to have a place. And my only question would be, who says your convictions need a place like that? Who says your convictions need a platform like the pulpit? I posted this on Instagram last week. Too many pastors use the pulpit like a podcast. It's just a platform for them to have followers and speak. Seriously, just start a podcast. Just start a podcast. Don't start a church. I wish more people started podcasts than churches, because those guys who are starting churches that are just podcasts are hurting the people in the end. In so many ways it happens. And here's the thing, it's not to quote Dr. Strange, but the bill always comes due. And it saddens me so much, but the bill always comes due. And the longer you in ministry don't own up and pay it and turn around, repent and change your ways, you're going to rack it up and rack it up and rack it up. And then that bill's going to get big. And the damage it does to your body, it's going to be immense. And so just, I want to leave with this. There is hope, because God is not bound to the American institutional church. God didn't say, my bride, I'm going to present my bride as spotless in American church. He didn't say that. It's the global church. And we are the bride of Christ. I'm not saying you don't go to church, right? I'm not saying you don't be a part of a community. But we have really, the machine's churning, the snowball's already going, and the American church is just, it's a machine in itself, and we have this response to the church that we think is bad, right? And so super reformed people respond to the ultra charismatics and everyone in between. And that's all it is. It's just reaction. Because when you're not driving it anymore, like, you think you're in control, but we've all put ourselves on the river where we've created this machine. We've bought into this machine, the snowball, whatever imagery you want. We're not in control anymore. You think you are, but you're just taking bits and pieces of the thing that's already driving you. And I think we just need to be honest about that. So, wow, that was a really downer. That's a really down way to end this podcast. I think next week is going to be Kirk. So that will be nice. So that will be a little bit more pleasant. Oh, man. But probably in a couple weeks, probably another 5 weeks or so, I'll probably post part two. But thank you guys for listening. And yeah, thank you for being a part of this. This is a heavy thing on my heart. I think that's why. I'm sorry, it's a downer, but it's a burden of mine. Because when you're outside of the forest, you can really see it, right? Like, it's the whole analogy, forest from the trees. When I was in ministry, I couldn't see the forest from the trees. I couldn't see the bad. I wouldn't have seen the bad. Because I was in too deep. I'm in too deep and I'm trying to keep. And now it's even harder because you're on the outside and you feel this burden to say something. What do you say? You know, so that's why I may not be as lively and as chipper as I usually am. But I thank you guys for listening. I hope you have a great day. I hope you have a great, wonderful Lord's Day as you worship together corporately. Follow us on Instagram, YouTube, even though I'm really posting stuff there. YouTube, Instagram. Send me emails at theologyandmusic. Become a member at buymeacoffee.com/theologymusic. And yeah, thank you guys so much. And I'll see you guys in the next episode in part two of Is There Hope for the American Church? See you guys later.